Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. And Bob, the idea of government getting smaller and leaner is one that's probably appealing to just about everybody. But there's an argument going around now. John DiLullio from the Bush administration made it in the Washington Post recently, and I'm starting to hear it other places, that we might be kind of at a tipping point as far as how small government can get and still do all of the things that it's legislatively mandated to do. What do you think is driving that conversation now, including somebody from a Republican administration writing that we may be getting smaller than we should?
What he's saying is that the number of permanent federal employees is declining. And in those terms, the federal government is reducing in size. But as he points out, what the federal government supports are nonprofits, contractors, and state and local government employees. So, for example, in the Department of Homeland Security, there are 200,000 permanent employees and 180,000 contractors. In the Department of Defense, 800,000 employees, 700,000 contractors. And then Mr. DiLullio makes the point that that programs operated by civil servants receive, quote, significantly higher scores for management and effectiveness than those run by grants and contract-based third parties. So his point is, we're farming out more of our work. The total size of the federal government is increasing and not decreasing, and we are not getting efficiency and effectiveness. So Mr. DiLullio's response is, we need more permanent federal employees.
This passage, I think, is gets right at the heart of the part of this discussion that a lot of people can agree on, regardless of where you come from politically or philosophically, Bob. Post-1960 federal America has become a grotesque leviathan by proxy in which an expanding mass of state and local government workers, for-profit contractors, and nonprofit grant recipients administers a vast portion of federal money and responsibility. One of the issues that jumps out at me there that I think I'm reading between the lines is the federal government is putting a lot of money out there that it doesn't wind up actually having any control over the quality of how that money is spent. Am I reading that right, do you think?
You are. No control over how it's spent, but taking responsibility and being held accountable for how it's spent while not giving the federal workforce the ability to actually have a positive impact with the money that's being spent.
He writes, we don't need fewer federal workers. We need more of them, a lot more, as you just mentioned a moment ago, Bob. More direct public administration would result in a better, smarter, more accountable government. Four words there that I think make this whole piece have so much impact. More direct public administration. That's that control issue I was talking about a moment ago.
In other words, all of the what the National Academy of Public Administration found and the Kettering Foundation found that when the federal workforce runs programs, they're better. Now, why would you want to shrink the quantity of the people who are doing the most effective work and giving more work to those who are inefficient and ineffective?
We talked about this in my conversation with the commissioner of the IRS, John Koskinen, and we talked about the direct correlation between the reduction or increase of the workforce at the IRS to the intake of revenues in a time of budget deficits. That interview is posted now at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. I know that not every single agency can make the dollar-to-dollar correlation that you can make with revenue agents at the Internal Revenue Service, Bob, but is there some kind of ROI that's demonstrable as far as the effectiveness of administration? Or is it possible, at least do you think, to try to put together data that might demonstrate that?
Well, I think the movement of the federal government from output to outcome measures answers that question. Because if I'm responsible for a program and I measure the outcome of that program, I can measure its effectiveness and efficiency. If I'm only measuring the output, I can't. So, for example, applying that to the Internal Revenue Service, if I measure output, I'm measuring the number of dollars collected, and I'm measuring the number of tax returns processed. If I'm measuring outcomes, I'm measuring the level of voluntary compliance in the United States, which is a significant number and the most important number for the IRS. And similarly, if I'm at the Housing and Urban Development, the outcome might be the increase or the decrease in the number of jobless in the housing environment I create, not the number of houses I authorize be built. So if we can move to outcome rather than output measures, we'll have proof of more proof of what NAPA and the Kettering Foundation discovered.
The piece from the Washington Post that Mr. DeLulio writes that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, it gives examples from FEMA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and others about where too small of a permanent workforce has resulted in extreme expenditures of money, lots of cost to the taxpayer, dysfunction with problems. The what I take away from this piece, Bob, unfortunately, is it's a congressional issue because a lot of these things will be legislatively mandated, and it's a financial issue at the same time because hiring a tremendous amount of people like this would require a whole lot of money, and there's no appetite for that probably in either party right now.
Well, I'm actually, Francis, I think that if we hired more federal employees while at the same time reducing the number of contractors and reducing the reliance on the nonprofit sector, it would be close to a wash or cost savings. So I don't think it's a question of increased costs. Rather, I think it's a question of increased will.
How much of this would require a massive reworking of the way Congress and the way citizens look at the federal government? We are talking about so many kinds of reforms right now, reforming the general schedule, reforming the budget process, reforming the entitlement programs that take up the vast majority of the federal budget in the first place. All kinds of major reforms going on right now in an environment where, as of our conversation today, in less than a month, we have no more money because Congress hasn't gotten around yet to passing a continuing resolution, at least to keep the doors open and the lights on for a short period of time. The level of functionality that's required to take on a lot of these things, and it strikes me as a lot to ask right now, Bob.
Certainly, it couldn't be something that would happen tomorrow, but it certainly could happen over a period of 2 or 3 years, and all Congress would have to do would be to shrink the amount of money available for contractors and the nonprofit private sector and mandate that money be spent on hiring more federal employees to carry out the duties and responsibilities.
All they'd have to do, you make it sound really simple, Bob.
As simple as possible, Francis.
I'm just, as I think through what you're suggesting, I'm thinking of all the other things that are going on with that. I'm thinking of all of the stakeholders that would have something to say about that, and I'm thinking of all of the structural issues that either should be addressed at the same time or that people would want to have addressed at the same time. And I'm not even sure I'm thinking of them all, and I'm not sure I see that as being a 2 or 3 year process, Bob. In an ideal world, yes. But in the real world, I'm not sure I see it being quite that simple.
Certainly, if the Department of Defense has 700,000 contractors on its payroll right now, they're paying more for those folks than they would pay if it were federal employees. Now, if that's a fact, and I think it is, and if taxpayers are really serious about getting more efficient federal government at less cost, then I create a goal for the reduction of the contractors and the hiring of the federal workforce. Now, we can quibble. It certainly would be difficult because the contractors, who are big-time stakeholders, would say that's not right, it's not fair, and all of the other things they would say. But if the public and the Congress are really serious about more efficient and effective government, that's the route they take.
The whether that's a fact or not, that federal employees would cost less to perform some of these jobs, though, if you think that's a fact, I'll give you that. But there are a lot of people that don't think that's a fact, and there are a lot of people that think that the opposite is a fact. And it strikes me that that's one of the things that we would have to have some kind of definitive data to demonstrate. And so far, we haven't been able to come up with definitive data that at least a majority of the people participating in this debate have confidence in.
Well, you might recall during the Bush administration, there was a great deal of fight over contracting out, and there was a mandate that there'd be a cost comparison between federal workers and contractors doing the same work. And my recollection is over several hundred competitions that occurred, federal employees lost one or two of those competitions. So in a head-to-head competition, federal employees were shown to be able to do the work more efficiently and more effectively, which squares with what, as I suggest, the National Academy of Public Administration and the Kettering Foundation discovered.
You're talking about the A76 competitions, I imagine, and you're correct. Your recollection is right on target that federal employees and federal organizations won an overwhelming majority of A76 competitions. But the argument goes that it's precisely because of that competition that if that work were all automatically insourced, wouldn't exist anymore. And the impetus, the incentive for continuing to drive down costs and perform that work as efficiently and effectively as possible would disappear.
Well, someone can assume that, but the record, I think, is contrary, Francis. As the dollars have declined, the federal workforce has responded. And I don't think there's any question about that. So I think this idea that somehow the federal workforce can't figure out how to do things more efficiently and more effectively is just false. And when put to the test, they win. And when appealed to in terms of why they come to the federal government, and that is to be involved in something bigger than themselves, they also respond. So I believe we need more federal workers and fewer outsourced government work to whomever is receiving this outsourcing responsibility.